From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Corn hogs and all three. Last Saturday, the Iowa straw poll shook up the Republican race. Dark horse candidate Mike Huckabee scored a second-place finish, and former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson dropped out altogether. Now the Democratic nominees are making their move in Iowa. This week, Hillary Clinton launches her first TV ad in the Hawkeye state. She's leading in the polls nationally, but in Iowa, she's in a dead heat with Senator Barack Obama and former Senator John Edwards. For that and more, we've got Robert Trainum, a GOP strategist. He teaches at George Washington University and runs his own political consulting firm. Also with us, Donna Brazile, a nationally syndicated columnist. She teaches at Georgetown University in D.C. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Robert, very quickly, what the heck is a straw poll?
Well, a straw poll is a non-binding poll that basically you can influence by spending a lot of money and by wooing a lot of people to come out and say, vote for me. This is a non-binding poll that basically says, I'm your guy, I'm your person, come out and vote for me. And by the way, I'll give you a lot of steak fry and a lot of alcohol to do so. The fact of the matter is, Farai, is that it's non-binding. It really just basically means is that the chattering class here in Washington, D.C., and the political chattering class around the country can say, oh, Romney won this poll, or blah, 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 won this poll. This means that they have momentum on their side. But it really doesn't mean a lot in the grand scheme of things.
Well, let me just move on to hear a little bit of a Senator Clinton ad.
You know, if you're a family that is struggling and you don't have health care, well, you are invisible to this president. If you're a single mom trying to find affordable child care so you can go to work, well, you're invisible too. And I never thought I would see that our soldiers who serve in Iraq and Afghanistan would be treated as though they were invisible as well.
Donna, do you think this ad hits the mark?
Absolutely. Look, Senator Clinton has decided to draw a contrast not with her Democratic opponents, but rather with President Bush. She is trying to tell the voters out there that she has the leadership, that she has the ability to not just improve their economic situation, but with another Clinton presidency, she will put them back on the map.
So, Robert?
Well, Farai, this is a 60-second ad that's aimed at softening Senator Clinton's image. Her negatives remain high, and this ad is aimed frankly, reintroducing her to Iowa voters. And you got to keep in mind, you know, she's not polling very well in Iowa. I mean, nationally, as Donna has said, that she's polling very well. But if you take a look at Iowa-specific polls, Senators Obama and Edward are outpolling her. So this is a political ploy on her part to try to reintroduce herself to voters. And quite frankly, I don't blame her for doing so.
Well, she's not being outpolled very much in the state of Iowa. She's caught up with both Senator Edwards as well as Senator Obama. The latest Iowa poll shows that it's a three-way race. So this is a very crucial moment for the senator to reintroduce herself. And by the way, her negatives have actually gone down with independents, white males, and some Republicans. So Senator Clinton, for the first time, has a 50% approval rating and a 43% disapproval rating.
I don't disagree with that. I'm sorry. I don't disagree with that. However, her negatives are still very, very high for someone at this stage of the race.
Robert,
George
let
Bush
me just jump.
Negative two in 2004, and look what
y'all guys are like wild horses. I can't even rein you in. But I want to just throw something in before we move on to some of the other topics. Now, Iowa is more than 90% white. New Hampshire, another early state, is not exactly rife with color either. If you look, Robert, at what's going on with the Democrats in Iowa, are you surprised that Senator Obama is doing as well as he is? Are you also dismayed in any way that the two early campaign grounds don't have more diversity?
Let me answer your second question first. I am a little surprised and frankly dismayed that there isn't more diversity on the campaign staff, especially on the Democratic side that have always prided themselves on diversity. And to answer your first question, Farai, you know, I'm not really surprised with Senator Obama. If you take a look at his fundraising numbers, if you take a look at his overall public opinion numbers, they're very high. Senator Obama has this unique ability to transcend race. You know, obviously he has a very ethnic name. However, when you listen to him and when you see him on the campaign trail, he comes across as a very happy-go-lucky, likable guy no matter what scenario that he's in. He reminds me very much of Colin Powell. Back in 1996 when he was flirting with the presidency, and also back in 2001 when he was nominated to be Secretary of State. He transcends race, he transcends color, and he speaks an everyday language that, quite frankly, no matter who you are in this country from an ethnicity standpoint, you can relate to him.
Donna, do you think that it makes any difference, you having run a presidential campaign yourself, that the ethnicity in these early states is not very diverse?
Well, one of the reasons why the Democratic Party took the steps to expand the early states include South Carolina, which is 40% African American, Nevada, which is 20% Hispanic, is to allow other states and other regions to have some input into who our nominee will be. Look, I'm proud of the Democratic Party and the candidates. Senator Clinton has a female campaign manager, along with Senator Dodd. Senator Obama has a black male pollster. Joe Biden has a Latino campaign. There's great diversity within the Democratic Party. And let me just make an announcement before it even occurs. The Democratic Party will be putting out a 120-page minority companies guide just to encourage candidates across the spectrum to hire minority and women and gay and lesbian consultants across the board so we can ensure that our diversity in our party matches diversity in the country.
Well, before we get too deep into the world of how you guys function in the political consultant game, I want to move on to the Republican side. You've got Mitt Romney placing first in the same Iowa straw poll that we've been talking about. Folks had their doubts about Romney's bid in particular because of questions of whether Americans would accept his faith. And do you think, Donna, this shows a shifting attitude? I'm thinking here that, you know, we've had a lot of debate about how much it took for the Kennedys to break through the barrier of prejudice against Catholics, whether or not a person who's Jewish could ever be elected in the near future. Is Mitt Romney breaking new ground here?
I think Mitt Romney is doing a better job explaining his faith than Barack Obama has in explaining his background and his race. The fact is that Mitt Romney has spent enormous time and energy and, as Robert said, resources in the state of Iowa. While I believe that the straw poll certified nothing, I mean, they had 10,000 less people. I mean, Romney spent over $400 per vote compared to Huckabee, who came in second with $50 a vote. I think the Republican brand and the Republican Party is still in a great deal of trouble right now.
Ron, want to move, I'm sorry, Robert, too many political consultants, want to move on to Mike Huckabee. He is kind of the little engine that could of
Absolutely.
This straw poll. He really, as Donna said, didn't spend hardly a dime in political terms.
You know, it's interesting. Governor Huckabee has done a very good job in the debates for I. He's very substantive. He's very passionate about his issues. And he also, you can tell he's done his homework, and he's very, very knowledgeable. Governor Huckabee was a governor, ironically, from Arkansas. He has learned from the best in terms of being a student, if you will, from Bill Clinton. He is a pastor. He is someone of enormous talent, and it's very interesting how more and more people are starting this buzz factor, if you will, and say, hey, listen, did you see the debates yesterday? And by the way, did you see how good Huckabee did? So it's interesting how, frankly, someone that doesn't have a lot of money, that doesn't have a very large name recognition, if you will, around the country is doing so well in terms of at the grassroots level. And I think it goes back to my original point for I with Senator Obama, where Governor Huckabee is traveling around the country and he has this all shucks, happy-go-lucky persona, if you will. And I think people out there, particularly in Iowa and in New Hampshire and some other states, are saying, you know what? I've never heard of this guy before, but what I see so far, I kind of like what I see.
He's a sleeper. I also believe that his populist message of outsourcing American jobs, he represents the people on Main Street, not Wall Street. He's connecting more with everyday voters in those early states. And for John McCain and Rudy Giuliani to skip the Iowa straw poll, I believe it was a big mistake. Huckabee can now capitalize on them not being in the state and really give Mitt Romney a run for his money.
All right, Donna, moving back to the national stage on the presidential level with the president actually in office. We have Karl Rove saying he's going to leave. And Nicole Wallace, a former communications director for President Bush, says that Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton, is running the most Rove-like campaign. What do you think about that assessment?
Well, yeah, there's no question that Senator Clinton understands how to define her opponents and to capture the center. People thought that she would have a hard time explaining her vote on the war, and look at where she stands today. She's seen as a candidate with a great deal of experience. Look, I know Karl Rove. Karl Rove was one of the most powerful and controversial aides ever to sit in the West Wing of the White House. He will be dearly missed, I am sure, by the Bush White House. And while there are other capable, talented people inside the White House, Ed Gillespie, Josh Bolton, there's no question that Karl Rove has been, you know, an indispensable part of the Bush White House.
And Robert, what do you think is his legacy? And I don't mean necessarily in terms of having gotten headlines or being a friend of the president, but if you had to describe in just a couple sentences how he runs politics, what would you say?
Grassroots winning. His objective always is to win. You know, it's very interesting. Karl Rove and former President Clinton and now Senator Clinton have a mutual admiration for each other. They admire each other's political strengths, but they also understand retail politics, and they understand that in order to win, you need to, you know, frankly, have some sharp elbows. Let's keep in mind, Bill Clinton has won a lot of elections. Let's also keep in mind, Karl Rove has won a lot of elections as well. And in order to win, you need to make enemies. And I think Senator Clinton, as well as President Clinton, and clearly George Bush recognizes that. And I think Karl Rove's legacy will always be that he was a very flawed, or is a very flawed individual as it relates to Valerie Plame, as it relates to Social Security, immigration, and arguably Iraq. But you cannot underestimate his brilliance when it comes to winning campaigns.
All right, on that note.
He mastered the politics of divide and conquer. And so, Karl Rove, write your book, go teach somewhere, and please, please leave America alone. It's time to heal this country.
Oh, Lord. Both of you guys are so much. Donna, Robert, thank you.
Thank you, Farai.
Donna Brazile is a nationally syndicated columnist. She teaches at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And Robert Trainum is a GOP strategist. He teaches at George Washington University and runs his own political consulting firm. Both spoke with us from NPR's D.C. headquarters.